We give honor to all that honor is due. We thank God for all of you in your respective places. I just want to let them know that we're praying. Amen. And isn't it good to know, even as we sang that song, isn't it good to know where you're going? I don't know about you, but as a driver, nothing gets me more, nervous or whatever than not knowing where I'm going. Amen. I don't like not knowing where I'm going. It's all right to take a ride sometime and just see things, but I like to know where I'm going. Amen. Sometimes for work, I have to go and see customers in remote areas, and my cell service goes off. And I start thinking to myself, man, if I can't find where I'm going, I don't even know how to get back to where I need to be. So, you know, it's stressful when you don't know where you're going. Amen? Amen. So, life is much better. Amen? Life is much better when you know where you're going. Amen. And thank God that those of us who have accepted the gift of salvation, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ in our hearts, know where we're going. Amen? The challenge is that we're not there yet, and we have to live down here amongst a world that is completely opposite from the way that we're going. Amen? So day in and day out, we have to live this life. And yes, we know where we're going, but in the meantime, amen, in the meantime, you could say, in the meantime, I have to deal with this, that, and the other, or you could say, in the meantime, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to live my best life, amen, because he did come that you might have life, and that more abundantly, and not only life afterwards, but life down here on earth, amen. Let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter. I thank God for being on the Lord's side today. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Galatians, the fifth chapter. And many times when people go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, they start at the 22nd verse and they end at the 26th verse. But we are going to start at verse 1 and just read the chapter. It's not that long. Amen. When you have it, say amen. The Bible I'm reading from says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that call you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were given, that they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen? We've read in your hearing the complete fifth chapter of Galatians, and the word of the Lord is blessed. You know, it's great to have freedom. Amen? Would you agree that freedom is a beautiful thing? Everyone, all of us, want to be free. Amen? If you've ever had freedom taken away from you, you realize how precious freedom or liberty is. Amen? So we all long to be free. The problem is for us that we don't always do so well with our freedom. Amen? I don't know about you all, but, you know, God made us free moral agents. Amen? So he died for us. He gave us everything we need to have life and that more abundantly. He laid out the plan for us. He made a path for each and every one of us individually and said, walk in this way, run this race. He basically did everything for us, but then he made us free moral agents, which most of the time you'd say, I wouldn't have it any other way. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish he would just made us do what we had to do. Amen? Yeah. I mean, just don't give us so much, you know, freedom, God, but just Just make us do it, because I got a hard time doing it by myself sometimes. Amen? There was a man who was in a car at a red light. There was one car in front of him. He was in a hurry. He was running late, trying to get to where he had to go. Young girl is in the car in front of him, and the light turns green. And this is a one-lane highway, you know, one-lane street, and the light turns green, and he waits, and this girl's not going anywhere. And he's looking, and he can see that the girl has her head down, right? And he knows that she's looking at her phone, you know, she's not paying attention to the green light. And he's in a hurry, and he's banging on his horn, and he's yelling for her to go. And next thing you know, the light turns red again, and now he's upset. Amen? And he puts his window down, and he starts cussing her out to no end. I mean, just like every word you can think of. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. He's cussing this girl out, and all of a sudden, a police officer is at his window with his gun drawn saying, get out of the car. And the guy's like, what are you talking about, get out of the car? I didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, police officer takes him down to the cell. And a couple hours go by, and the police officer comes to the cell, and he says, okay, you can go now. And the guy says, yeah, I knew I could go, because you have no reason. You can't take me to jail for cussing somebody out. You can't take me to jail for yelling at somebody. You can't, you know, that person was supposed to go. Why don't you take her to jail for being on her phone while she's at the red light? And he goes, no, I didn't. He goes, sir, I didn't take you to jail for any of those things. He goes, I saw everything that was happening, and, you know, next thing I knew, I noticed the cross hanging from your mirror. I noticed the bright yellow license plate you had saying Choose Life. I noticed the bumper sticker you had on there saying Jesus is coming back soon. And I just assumed you stole the car. Because nobody with those beliefs and those things would be doing what you were doing. So I just assume that you stole that car. Amen? Good thing none of us are like that guy. Amen? Good thing we always handle things the right way when things like that happen to us. Amen? When people cut us off, when people hinder our way. Amen? Thank God we're not like that guy. Amen? But you know, nothing seems to turn people away from Christianity more than inconsistency. Inconsistency. You know, some of us are praying for family members to get saved. Some of us are praying for friends to get saved. Some of us are praying for coworkers to get saved. Some of us are praying for this one or that one to get saved. And many times, what's hindering them is the inconsistencies they see in us. Oh, I know you don't like that. You did not come to hear that this morning. Amen. Tell me how good God is. Tell me that I'm victorious and I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm the lender and not the borrower. But don't tell me. Don't talk to me about inconsistency. You see, when we come to Christ and give our hearts and lives to Him, He takes up residency within our being. His Holy Spirit lives within us. And truth be told, we will never be the same again. That's why they call us a new creature. Amen? Because when the Holy Spirit takes residence in your being, you will no longer be able to sin comfortably. Amen. I never said you would no longer be able to sin. I just said you won't be able to do it comfortably when the Holy Spirit is residing within you. In other words, when you do sin, when you do mess up, you're going to know it. Amen. There used to be a time in your life before you had Christ in your life that you would just do what you want to do and think nothing of it, but you will no longer be able to do what you want to do and think nothing of it. Because the Holy Spirit will always remind you that that's not in line with what we believe. That's not in line with who you are now. That's not in line with the new creature that I made you. That's not in line with the freedom that I've given you. Amen? Second Corinthians 5 and 17, that is, born-again believers having received the Lord Jesus Christ and the accompanying indwelling Holy Spirit, each of us is a new creation. The old self, enslaved to sin, has been crucified. As such, we ought to no longer be comfortable with our old sinful ways. We should desire to turn from them, seeking God's will for our lives. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 15, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. When we come to the fifth chapter of Galatians, Paul instructs us about the indwelling Holy Spirit's work in the daily life of the believer. We need to recognize that while the Holy Spirit has decisively defeated the flesh through our union with Christ in his death, not every believer is living a life of victory. Amen? So the song, if you've accepted Christ in your life, if you've accepted that gift of salvation, then you can sing the song that, you know, if anybody asks you where I'm going, you know where you're going, but you don't necessarily live a life of victory down here based on that. Because down here, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And God said Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly, right? So we have two people vying for our interest. And every day the Lord allows us to open our eyes, to breathe again. We have another opportunity for life. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and God wants to give you life in that more abundantly. Amen? And although we have the Spirit of the Lord indwelling within us, ready, willing, and able to help us go in the right directions and do the right thing, we also are clothed in flesh. And the flesh wants to please the flesh. Amen? So that's why the Bible tells us that if we walk after the Spirit, we will not mind the things of the flesh. Amen? But that causes us to walk after the Spirit. It doesn't just happen. You got to choose to do that. Amen? That's why I say sometimes I wish God would just, you know, take care of it for us. Because he makes us free moral agents. He allows us to choose. So there's a tug of war that's going on in every believer. The non-Christian doesn't have that struggle. But in every believer, there's that tug of war. Many believe that the devil is our greatest enemy. And don't think for a second that he's not a formidable foe. He is. The Word of God says that he is the prince of the power of the air and walks about as a roaring lion seeking to whom he may destroy. However, as formidable as Satan may be, he is not our greatest enemy. We ourselves are our greatest enemy. Amen? So, it's, you know, the first step that we made when we accepted Jesus Christ in our hearts was a great one. It's the most important step we could ever, it's the best decision you can ever make in your life. But after that decision, you have to live until he calls you home. Amen? And he doesn't just want you to exist anymore. He wants you to live. Amen? God wants you to live. He wants you to live a life that's appealing to others. So that to the point where someone would say to you, what is it about you that allows you to deal with all of the same troubles that life brings to me, and yet you have a smile on your face? That's the kind of life that God wants us to live until he calls us home. Amen? The problem is, this flesh likes what it likes. And if, you know, I always say, you have the spiritual man and you have the natural. Whichever one you feed more is going to dominate and show out on you. Amen? So if you haven't done the necessary things to get your mind and heart in the right places, the chances of you making spiritual decisions instead of fleshly decisions are not going to be good. Does it make sense? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what your resume is. I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care how many messages you preached and taught and did. If you're not feeding the Spirit on a regular basis, the spirit man starts to starve, the natural man starts to dominate, and you will act out as the flesh would have you to do. Saved as you want to be. Amen? So the question to us comes, how do I, day in and day out, choose to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh? That's the question that we have to deal with down here. Now, do y'all remember when Paul was having that back and forth in Romans 7? That struggle that was going on in Romans 7 where he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you know, every time I try to do right, evil is ever present. I mean to do the right thing, but then I mess up and do the wrong thing. And, you know, he just keeps going on about the struggle, going back and forth that he's going through. And so many of us can relate to that. But at the end of the chapter, what was the conclusion that he came to? Anybody know? Let's go to that, just real quick, grab Romans 7, go to the end. After the struggle, read verse 25, Romans 7 and 25, somebody read it out loud. So after the struggle, after the back and forth that we can all relate to, after he's having this basically having this conversation with himself, going back and forth, he comes to this conclusion. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with what? With my mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. So if we're asking ourselves the question, how can I on a daily basis, day in and day out, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time, how can I walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh? It comes down to your mind. Romans 12 said this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, right? How do we do that? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Amen? So what I'm saying is, listen, this ain't easy. Right? Every day we struggle. Every day. Some days, you know, we're like that guy in the car. No patience. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Say what you want to say, but some days we're like that guy. And just don't say the wrong thing. Don't do the wrong thing because I will, you know, I will tell you what I feel in a second, right? And then other days, when we woke up early, took our time, spent a little time in the Word, talked to God, and then went out. People didn't go on a red light. Oh, boy, it's a shame. You know, they really ought to stay off those phones. Praise God. Okay. We'll be all right. I'll get to where I want to go, right? We handle things differently when we're in the right mindset. Our mind is the key to this victorious living. See, the problem is the ones we struggle with the most are people, right? Family, coworkers, acquaintances, people you gotta, you know, work with and against, and all the people is what our downfall is many times. But the bottom line is this, and I try to get this across to my sons even now, is you gotta ask yourself a question. Who or what is controlling your life? Who or what is controlling your what? Your life. Not your wife, your life. That was a Freudian slip. Who or what is controlling your life? Amen? Because I'll be honest with you, there's things that come up. You know, we say that we love the Lord, we say that we, you know, God is great and all these things, but if we be honest with ourselves, if we were to make a list of things that are most important, that control us, that are most important, we'd say God was first, but our actions would say different. We'd say God is first in my life. He's the beginning and the end. We'd say all the right things, but when the rubber meets the road, when decisions have to be made, when things have to be, your actions don't always line up with what you say, which causes that inconsistency that we talked about earlier that give unbelievers a hard time. We don't want to go back there, right? But the thing is this, you know, and I had one of my boys, got into the habit, he was smoking weed, right? So I had to have this conversation with him that, you know, you got to be careful with what you allow to control you. Because what starts out as fun and leisure ends up having control over your mind, having control over your decisions, having control over your actions. Amen? And if you don't have the right thing in the right place, you will not make the right decisions. You can talk Bible all you want. You can talk church all you want. But if weed or drugs or alcohol or women or men or sex or all these things mean more to you in your daily living than what you claim, they will always win out. They will always win out. We don't like to talk about that. But there's a reason why God said, I have to be first. There's a reason why he said, I can't have nobody else or no other thing before me. There's a reason why he's a jealous God. There's a reason why when he called them to follow him, he said, you got to drop everything, mother, brother, family, sister, all those things to follow me. Because I have to be first and foremost in your life. Because that's the only way that you will fulfill the things of the spirit and not the things of the flesh. You see, before they dropped their rods, you know, fishing controlled their life. Fishing was the most important thing in their life. They were professional fishers. That's who they were. That's who what they identified with. And God said, you got to drop that to follow me. I'm going to show you how to be a different fisherman. Amen? But what controls your life? That's why, you know, not even your husband or your wife or your children or your family can be before God. He's got to be first. And trust me, when he's first, he'll show you how to be the best wife, the best husband, the best mother, the best father. He will show you how to do those things. He wants you to have a great family, but he's got to be first. You can't. Your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend can't control what you do. They can't control what you do. Only God should be controlling what you do. Only the Holy Spirit should be controlling what you do. If anything or anyone else is controlling what you do, you got a problem on your hands. Because you will always choose what they want you to do, regardless of what is right. So the hindrance for most of us in living this abundant life that the Bible tells us that we should be living is that it's hard for us to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh when our things that control our life are out of order. And like I said, people are the ones that mess us up a lot of times because we allow them to. But the key to people is we have to understand what the Bible says. First of all, we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against, you know, the much, much greater things than people, okay? The second thing is, if you're going to have the mind of Christ, then you got to start seeing people the way he sees them. And if you can do that, people won't bother you as much. I don't know about you, but I thank God that Jesus sees me for what I can be and not who I am. He sees past my faults and sees my needs. Amen? And if we can develop that mindset of seeing past people's faults and seeing their needs, we will see people differently and they will have less effect on us. Amen? If you see them for what they need and not for what they show you right now or who they are right now, you'll have a different outlook on things. We do this by transform our minds. And the only way we can transform our minds is meditating on the Word of God. And I know we all have busy lives, and we all don't have a lot of time. But you have to make time for the things that are important. And there's ways that you can do it with, and still do all the things that you have to do within your day, believe it or not. I was to ask you guys right now how much free time you have, you guys would tell me quick, I don't have much. I'm telling you right now, I'm overbooked, I'm overflowed, I don't have no free time. Don't even talk to me about doing anything else. I'm booked. I need to get rid of some things. But you ever have one of those classes where you got to start writing things down, what you did in the day or what you ate in the day and stuff like that? All of a sudden you look at things and you're not quite as busy as you thought you were. And you gotta, and you start thinking about it and say, well, there's got to be something else I can't think of right now because I'm telling you, I'm busy. By the time I get home, I'm tired. I don't have another ounce of energy to deal with anybody or anybody. I'm telling you, I am swamped. But when we really look at it, we got more time than we think we do. You see, the problem is we like to do what we want to do. Instead of getting up just a little bit earlier, we like to sleep in. I'm tired. My body's tired. Amen? Instead of going to bed just a little bit earlier so you can wake up a little bit early, you say, no, man, I've been working all day. I deserve this time in front of this television. I deserve this time. I'm gonna stay up because I've been working all day. Amen? So you go ahead and do you. And you stay up and watch your shows and watch your Netflix and do all you got to do. And then when it's time to get up, you can hardly get up because you're tired. You don't have to say amen, say ouch. Amen? You see, just little tweaks in your time management can free up some valuable time for you to meditate on the Lord, to read His Word, to spend some time in prayer, to encourage somebody, to go visit somebody, to call somebody, just little tweaks. But what it requires is you denying the flesh a little bit and walking after the Spirit. Our minds. You know, it's a wonder that we can say anything spiritual at all, or we can do anything spiritual at all based on the amount of time that we spent with the Lord. See, truth be told, some of us who've been around for a while, we're living off what we've learned over the years. You see, that's why, you know, you say, well, I'm not bringing the kids because the kids don't pay attention anyway. They just, you know, they just run around. They just, you know, fall asleep. I'm not bringing the kids. Well, don't fool yourself. They are learning some things. They hear things. And after a while, they know things. Amen? Just like you've been around a while and you know a little bit because based on just from being around a little while. You done heard some things. You heard some good messages. You heard some good teachings. Amen. You've been in some good studies. You've learned some stuff. But what you going to eat today? What you going to chew on today? Amen? Because, again, when you wake up in the morning, God allows you to wake up. If you don't take the initiative to walk after the Spirit and do and mind the things of the Spirit and start thinking and praying along the things of the Spirit, He'll say, okay. First of all, let's not get up right now because we could sleep a little longer. That's what He's going to do, right? And then He's going to get you to the point where you're running late now. And you know how we are when we're running late. Patience is low, right? So we start the day off like that, right? Slept in too long, running late, get to work, maybe on time, maybe not. Get to work, start working. Somebody says the wrong thing to us, does the wrong thing. Man, I'm upset now, right? Have a bad day at work, get home. The kids want to say, hey, can I tell you? No, not right now. I've had a bad day, right? Do you see how this works? And then, after all that, the enemy says, man, what a day you've had. It's time for a drink. It's time for a smoke. It's time to get on that internet and just veg out on Facebook or veg out on the things that we veg out on the internet. Amen? Get in front of that TV, watch your show. Do you see how he works? And then you get to a point where you're living a life where you're coming to church every Sunday. You believe God, you love God, you thank God that you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen, and all those things. But yet, day in and day out, we're living defeated. We can't hardly encourage anybody else because we're not encouraged ourselves. We can hardly smile at anybody else because we can't find nothing to smile about. So, yeah. If anybody asks you where I'm going, yeah, I'm going there. But what about now? What about Sunday? And yes, Sally, it's March 10th today. She didn't know if it was March or April today. So I just, you know, it's March 10th, Sunday. What about March 10th, 2019? What you going to do? Okay, Sunday. It's Sunday. I went to church today. I fulfilled my spiritual obligation. Monday through Saturday, if God allow you to live, what you going to do? Huh? And you know, it's not that you have to, you know, because we all enjoy different things, right? We enjoy, you know, I enjoy watching sports and doing different things. You enjoy the things you enjoy. We enjoy our families. We enjoy going places. We enjoy eating. We enjoy doing all. And all those things are great. But while you're doing those things, you can still have your mind in the right place. Amen? I can be watching a sporting event and thinking to myself, man, God is good. This is a great game. God is great. I'm just happy that I had this opportunity. I could be somewhere eating a great meal and just thinking about how good God is. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, I'm not saying you got to be a billboard for Christianity. I'm not saying that you got to be, you know, in your Bible 10 hours a day. I'm just telling you, you need to have your mind in the right place. While you're dealing with your children, while you think, you know, even when they're getting on your nerves and you say to yourself, God is so good, you know, and just keep, you know, just have your mind in the right place. Even while you're on your job and those people are getting on your nerves, you can be thinking about how good God is. And when you have your mind in the right place, you deal with things better. You deal with things differently. Amen? Because when your mind's not in the right place, those things control what you think and what you do. And those things should, people should not be able to control what you think and what you do. They shouldn't. Only God should be able to do that. We allow people to do that to us. My message is about control. Amen? Don't give up your control to anyone or anything besides God. Don't give it up. It's too valuable. It's too valuable. Nobody or no thing should be able to control you but God. Only God. If we allow God to control us, to control our thoughts, to control the things that we do, then we will be able to better walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But I'm here to tell you today that it doesn't just happen. And we know, we've been taught well here that it's all about grace. Without grace, where would any of us be? It's not about works, but it doesn't mean you don't have to work at it. Amen? In other words, it's not about works to the point where you say, look what I've done, look what I've earned. You don't earn salvation. You don't earn those things, but you do have to work at running your race after you've been saved. It's not enough for you to just show up to church once in a while. You have to, every day there's a war going on, and you have to make choices. And the only way you can choose to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh is if your mind is in the right place. What does he say in the Bible? Those that keep their mind stayed on me will what? Be in what? Perfect peace. Don't you want some of that? Wouldn't it be able to sleep better if you had peace? Wouldn't you feel better if you had peace? There's so much chaos going on. Amen? The enemy comes to steal, kill, steal your peace. Steal your joy. They that keep their mind stayed on Jesus will be in perfect peace. You got to have your mind in the right place to do what the Bible says and walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because that's the choice. That's where the rubber meets the road every single day God allows you to wake up. And what determines whether you have good days and bad days is not what happens to you necessarily, but the choices that you make throughout the day. Amen. Let us stand. How many know you can choose joy? You can choose peace. You can choose those things. If you're going to live your life based on the circumstances that happen day in and day out, then that's going to control you, and you'll be like the stock market. You'll be up and down, good days and bad days, and there and here, and no stability to your life. But you can choose joy in the midst of whatever's going on. You can choose peace in the midst of chaos. You can choose joy in the midst of sorrow. You can choose. Well, you need to choose to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Amen? But you got to have your minds in the right place. And the only way you can do that is if you have God as your central control. He needs to be the one at the top, directing thoughts, decisions, actions. He needs to be the one that's doing those things. If any person or anything in your life has control over you but God, it's a problem. You need to address it. You need to ask God to help you get things in order. Amen? Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings. We pray, Lord, that we have taken something out of the word today that would help us as we walk out these doors. Lord, we realize that you're a great God and you've done so much for us already. We thank God that we know where we're going. But Lord, we do want to live victoriously down here until you call us home. We do want to make a difference. We do want to have an effect on others, a positive effect. We do want to be a better mom, a better dad, a better friend, a better brother, a better sister, a better wife, a better husband, a better coworker, a better church family member. Lord, we want to be better at all those things. And Lord, we realize that we must have our priorities in order, that you and only you must be controlling our thoughts and actions. Lord, you said that you set before each and every one of us a path for us to run. We have to run the race, our own race, each and every one of us. Help us as we take every step, Lord, to walk and step after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We realize the things in our life, in our lives that pull at us from the flesh. We realize the things that we struggle with. Lord, we realize that the only way we can overcome those struggles is if we spend more time with you, if we get our minds in the right place, if we deal with those troubles and ask you to help us with them. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Have your way in our lives. Help us to do what you would have us to do so that we can live that abundant life that you promised us. Even as we leave this place but not your presence, we again want you to touch Sister Teresa, Siobhan, even now. Whatever's going on, Lord, you're in control. You made her. We thank you right now for healing, for stability even now, in Jesus' name. Lord, help us as we go from this place, but not your presence. Bring us back at the appointed time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen.